Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally O'Courty, and welcome to Public Advocate. I'm on cloud nine right now. I have to tell you, I did one of the most horrifying interviews I've ever done the other day with Joel Lord, who was talking about the Ebola vaccine and how it is derived from four different kinds of viruses. Let's see, what were they? Because you'll be surprised why I'm happy. Believe me, I was stupefied. But anyway, let's get back to the very sad, upsetting news, and it really is, quite frankly. Malaria, meningitis, AIDS, and yellow fever. Malaria, meningitis, AIDS, and yellow fever. And he's saying that all these different viruses are going to be or have been called Ebola after people are inoculated against these, so or have been exposed to them, what have you. It's a very good interview. I want you to look at it. I'll post it in the comment area. If you scroll down under the screen, I will post yesterday's interview with Joel Lord there. But, well, later that evening, Governor Cuomo and Governor of New Jersey, whose name eludes me at the moment, they have declared that because of this one Ebola case that everybody is suspect and anybody could be quarantined and taking away all of our civil liberties. And of course, there's only been one case, okay? So everything hinges on this one doctor and everything has to go into full swing and everybody must be stripped of their civil liberties. And quarantined. I mean, come on, man. This is really outrageous, you know? I'd love to see autism get this kind of attention, you know? However, okay, they do this. This is completely and utterly outrageous. We got that. And now the woman who lives in the building with this doctor, the Dabu 7, if you're familiar with Dabu 7, if you're not, get to know him. The mainstream media is interviewing the neighbor of the doctor. So she's talking about what a wonderful man he is and how concerned and caring he is. And then they show her a picture of him, and she says, "That's not him." Oh, boy, this is such a great day because we all know this is a false flag. They've been planning it since the 70s. If you listen to Joel Lord's interview, you will see how deep this goes. And to have one gal undo it in a sentence is just, it's a blessing is what it is. So I've been giggling ever since because we really need to stop the shot, and the shot being the vaccine, which is, you know, about the most toxic cocktail you'll ever hear about. And, but they're all 100% poison. They create all diseases in internal medicine, and they are intended to do so. So, they're doing whatever they can to be able to shuffle us off and inoculate us. And we have to stand our ground. I mean, we have got to get the word out about this incredible happenstance, you know? All these mainstream media reporters thought they had, you know, interviewing the neighbor and it was going to be a big deal. Boy, were they surprised. And boy, was she surprised. She's like, "That's not him." Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Anyway, so fairy tales do come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. So let's all party. Let's all enjoy ourselves. We deserve it. Anyone who's listening to this program, believe me, I know you deserve it. Okay, so anyway, this was going to be a show about Fitch. Okay, this is October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And Lord knows, every October, the timing of it has been perfect because here we are staving off Ebola vaccines. And for the first time, people who have never cared about vaccines are absolutely paralyzed with fear. And all I can say is, welcome to my world. Only I've been paralyzed with fear for the tiniest who are getting a gargantuan number of them here in New York City, 59 doses through the age of 5. And this is all decreed by the health department, which is an arm of the CDC, who has been proved up, down, and sideways as unethical at best. That's a pretty way of saying criminal, because unethical they are, and criminal they are. I've done two entire recordings on the evidence that has come out against us, and also negligence. I mean, there's an article talking about how they left four different outrageous viruses escape from their lab. Really? Huh. How's about that? So I'm supposed to be interviewing right now a comic who I met the other night in Manhattan at a comedy club, and he had done this whole segment is about signage. Really, that's really what it's about, signage. He got George Carlin Way on a sign that says that at Amsterdam Avenue and 121st Street, which is where George Carlin grew up. So that's really cool. And he had to, you know, get a petition and send it through the council. And, you know, he had to take a lot of steps, and he did it, and he prevailed. So it's really exciting that, you know, I run the Museum of Comedy. My professional name is Silly Sally the Jolly Jestress. And believe me, with this gal's announcement today, I am the jolliest, the jestress. I may actually tell a few jokes, you know? I'll tell you one that never fails, except once, actually. But here it is. If you don't like the way women drive, stay off the sidewalk. Well, yeah, that is a sexist joke, but it's a Henny Youngman joke. So if he didn't do sexist jokes, I don't know who did. In fact, one day I went up to UNIFEM, and which is a feminist organization for the United Nations, which, of course, now I know the United Nations is just one big heap of vaccination. That's really all they care about, is vaccinating the entire world. But, so needless to say, I'm as displeased with them as is conceivable. But anyway, I went up there and I told all these gals who work for UNIFEM just endless Henny Youngman jokes. And we were just falling on the floor laughing. I mean, I couldn't believe I chose a feminist organization to tell sexist jokes to. I'll give you another one. I'm in a great mood, believe me. So, all right. Yes. My wife will buy anything marked down. Last week she came home with an escalator. Hello. Okay. All right. So, anyway, so this fellow, Kevin Bartini, achieved something that was wonderful, which was to get George Carlin's name up on Amsterdam and 121st Street. And his family came from California, and so did some comics that I haven't seen in a dog's age. So that was really fun. And so it was just a great time and really nice that he did that. And Carlin's brother, Patrick, was a very cool guy. And he opened the show later that evening at the comedy club, where they had truly an all-star lineup. And I have to tell you, Gilbert Gottfried, really, I mean, of all the routines, honestly, I think George Carlin would have appreciated his the most, simply because he said it was the happiest day of his life when George Carlin died, which, of course, is the least acceptable thing you could possibly say, which is why I think George Carlin would have enjoyed it. He said, some people say, you know, what about the birth of your child? He's like, that was nothing. The happiest day of my life is when George Carlin died. I mean, it was just so dark and ludicrous, you know, so it was kind of fun. And but there were a lot of good performances that night by, let's see, who performed? Well, Kevin did. And so did, you know, I have a group on Facebook called Museum of Comedy, and I have all the pictures of the performers with the exception of one. I stepped out for a moment and I missed this guy's routine. I heard he was really good too. But anyway, everyone was good. And it was just a fun night, and everyone was there to celebrate the installation of the or the unveiling of the sign at Amsterdam and 121st Street in Manhattan. Well, if this comic does call in, and I hope he does, I have a second guest, so, you know, I hope he does soon. If he calls in, I will ask him, you know, what his favorite routines of Carlin are. Lord knows, I know everything he's ever done. The Museum of Comedy has a couple of autographed albums. The one everybody knows best is Class Clown. But for the purist, I recommend, in fact, I recommend this album above all other comedy albums. That's really saying a lot. You know, it really is. But it kind of changed my life, and it has never ceased to be, as I grow older. I was crazy about him since I was 9 years old. But as I grow older, it doesn't lose anything. It is just a great album, the FMAM album. But anyway, so let's see. I'm going to recite a poem by George Carlin that I do Carlin for kids in hospital. Yes, not everyone does Carlin for kids, and everyone thinks of him in terms of the seven dirty words, but he is a multifaceted comedian. In fact, I may do my ode to George Carlin first, okay? She is for George, slayer of people. He is for egging folks on under steeples. O is for outlandish remarks he dispenses. R is for righteously tearing down fences. G is for silt with ancient gall. E is for everyone he has a poll. C is for characters drawn from reality. A is for arrogance jived with finality. R is for rhyming one-syllable words. L is for laughing when they sound absurd. I is for ignoring the language offensive. And N is for enjoying his mind. It's immensive. That's right. He actually caused me to create a brand new word, immensive. How do you like that one? Anyway, I'm going to now recite Hair while I wait for Kevin to call in. All right. Oh, my husband's going to cough for us. Come along, sweetheart. We're going to have to quarantine you. Anyway, all right, here we go. Would you mind closing the door, please, so that I can have complete silence while I recite Hair? This is what I used to do, Carlin for kids. This was one of the things I used to do. Okay. I'm aware some stare at my hair. In fact, to be fair, some really despair of my hair. But they're not aware, nor are they debonair. In fact, they're just square. They see hair down to there, say beware, and go off on a tear. I say no fair. A head that is bare is really nowhere. So be like a bear, be fair to your hair, wear it to there, or to there, if you dare. My wife bought some hair at a fair to use as a spare. Did I care? Au contraire. Spare hair is fair. In fact, hair can be rare. For the stare got no hair, nor does it care, nor a chocolate eclair. And where is the hair on a pear? Nowhere, mon frere. Now that I've shared this affair of the hair, I think I'll repair to my lair and use mare. Do you care? Yeah, that's a good one, right? See my beard? Ain't it weird? Don't be scared. It's just beard. And, of course, Jenny. This goes over huge. In the children's wings of hospitals, if I sing this, believe me, it's been so long since I have, and I don't know that I have the voice for it. But anyway, it's called Jenny. And I used to sing it, and I would culminate it with the name of whoever ran the room, you know, whoever was the person on staff that day. And here it is. Oh, boy, I hope I can do this. Wee-oo-do-do. Wee-oo. Wee-oo. Jenny. That's right, Jenny. Well, anyway, one day while I was doing Carlin for Kids, the kids loved it. You know, they always like when you make silly sounds. And they said, oh, do it with my name. So I did the whole thing all over again and ended with one of the children's names. And they're like, now do it with my name. So the kids made me do it really. Basically, I wasn't going to tell them, no, I'll do anyone but your name, you know. So I did it 30 times, and I could not speak for 3 weeks. And I wrote a letter to George Carlin, and I said, well, your song, Jenny, went over like gangbusters to the point so hoarse I cannot even talk. And haven't been able to for 3 weeks. He wrote me a letter back. It's been a while. I don't remember what he said, but I know he was kind of delighted that I was doing Carlin for Kids, so that's cool. But anyway, so, well, Kevin isn't calling in. He's a comedian, and normally you never call a comedian before noon. But I said to him, is noon good? And he said, fine. Now, mind you, my daughter produces 3 mainstream media radio shows. And I'm sure he thought when I said, would you like to come on my program, that he thought that I was, working with her or something on these mainstream media shows. And, perhaps if it were a mainstream media show, he would be calling in right now. But the fact of the matter is, none of the people whose shows she produces were interested in having him on. So I thought, well, I certainly would not disrespect him. I would be delighted to speak with him, a fellow Carlin fan. What could be funner than that, But I want to talk to you about the turning point in George's life as a comic. Basically, comes down to one joke. And this is interesting because when I was 9 years old, listening to the FMAM album, I asked another one of my sisters, I said, how many times would you say I listened to that album? And she looked straight ahead and said, every single day. Well, George gave me a reason to grow up. I looked at my parents' lives and I thought they're very traditional and that just doesn't suit me. I don't have a reason to grow up. Who wants to grow up and be like them? Not, no offense. They certainly were hardworking, responsible, engaged citizens, but they just, I just didn't see any reason that anyone would want to grow up. Most kids want to grow up, not me. I was like, don't really like the whole scene. And then George Carlin came out and into my life anyway when I was 9, and I thought, that's it. This guy's got it going on. I can see growing up now. Now I want to grow up, So that's kind of transformative. Anyway, he had this whole album, and in the album, he was doing all kinds of shenanigans. It was a really fun, diverse album, but there was one joke that was different from all other jokes. And I remember at the time thinking, this joke is different from all other jokes. It was about Muhammad Ali, and he was saying that Muhammad Ali didn't want to kill people. He said, and so the punchline was, I'll beat him up. I just don't want to kill him. And I thought, wow, that's just, taking it in a completely different direction. And years later, I saw him interviewed. I think it might have been by Bob Costas. And he said, what was the turning point in your career? And he said, that one joke. And I thought, well, that so makes sense, that as a child thinking, this is just different from all the other jokes. And him saying that that is where he, took a turn and went and basically focused on social consciousness. Now, I know George Carlin, if he were alive today and knew what was going on with vaccines, would speak out about it because they're 100% poison. They create all diseases in internal medicine. And the intention is to do this, which is why everybody is finally waking up. We're about to be forced inoculated if the government has their way with us. So they couldn't wake up sooner, could they? But they certainly haven't woken up in time for the kids. The kids, 1 in 2 children has a chronic illness. So I guess it's okay to do to children, just not to us, right? Or children don't vote. Do anything you darn well please to them because they don't vote. Well, anyway, this is, I can't even go there. My next guest will go there because she's been doing a wonderful job. I have asked people, will they, I make banners and I bring my banners everywhere that say both October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month and Vaccine-Free NYC. Before that, I was carrying banners that said Billion Toddler March for Survival, Ban Vaccines 2013. So I basically go all over the city, I bring my banners, and I make a presence and let people know what's going on. So this is October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, which I created back in 2010 with the founder of Truth About Cortisol, Marianne Green. And it has taken off. Oh, cheerio, someone did call in. Hold on. Hi there, it's Sally.
Sally, this is Patrick Carlin. You said to call you at 12:20.
Oh, I didn't hear back from you, so I didn't expect you to be calling in. I'm thrilled you're calling in.
How come you didn't hear back?
Well, let me check my messages because I haven't gotten a return message from you.
That's okay.
Oh dear.
I just recited
the hair poem and the Seema Beard Ain't a Weird poem, and I just sang Jenny.
There you go.
So anyway, let me tell the woman who's supposed to be calling in 5 minutes, because I didn't expect you, that I'll interview her separately. Would you hold on just a second, Patrick?
Sure.
Thank you. I just want to let her know that I will interview her separately. Interview you later. So sorry. Okay. So she's a lovely girl, and she's taking a lot of action. So I certainly want to exalt people who are willing to be activists, you know?
Yeah. Well, what I did, I typed a reply to your thing, and I said, I will be there.
Well, so I'm thrilled you have joined me. Believe me when I say you are so – I loved your outspokenness and your candor at the unveiling of the signage.
Good.
So I wasn't expecting you, so I'm completely excited. You know, I don't even know what to say. I'm kind of tongue-tied.
We had a lot of fun.
Do you live in New York, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm up in Bearsville. It's about 100 miles north of the city, up near Kingston.
Ah.
It's beautiful.
Right, and near Woodstock.
Yeah, we're like a suburb of Woodstock. And it's very laid back and a very mellow place.
Well, I have to tell you, during the Bush administration, all they had was yellow ribbons, but no peace sign. I couldn't find a peace sign in all of New York City, including Times Square. I had to go to Woodstock to get a peace sign.
That's beautiful. Yeah, peace is in your heart. You know that, Sally.
That's true. Very true. Very true. But I had started something called the Peace Party, which was, you know, a movement for peace. And I thought, I can't believe I can't find a simple symbol like a peace sign in all of New York City.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So we got
what do you, now, go ahead.
What do I want? You're going to ask me something.
No, go ahead. Tell me about it.
Well, I said we got tie-dye shirts up here, and I mean, it's a real old hippie place. It's wonderful. It's like a throwback. Where are you calling from, in California?
No, I'm calling from New York City. I saw you at the comedy club perform the other night, and I met you afterwards. I'm the fat chick with long red hair.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, but the thing was, it's very much like Topanga Canyon up here, which it's like a time trip. It's like you're back in 1966 or 67. It's just beautiful. You kick a tree and a band falls out of it, you know?
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a very
creative
place.
I'm having
place.
So much fun, Patrick. Do you know what just happened? This is unbelievable.
What's that?
Well, you know that we're all now under quarantine because of the Ebola scare, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, whatever. But Dabu7, this alternative reporter, he saw on the news all the newscasters go up to the woman who lives in his building. And they asked her, you know, about the doctor, the lone case of Ebola, right? So, he's very dedicated. He talks about everything he cares about and on. Then they show her a picture of him. And she says, that's not him.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. That's funny.
Oh, you live for this stuff, right?
Yeah, I love it. It's just all, again, the newest excitement. Always something to keep the people stirred up. And it's a big game. I don't take it any of it serious, you know.
Right. Well, they've been planning it for a long time, and to be undone by the neighbor. You know, it's just
right.
So beautiful. It's almost unbelievable.
But you're supposed to have an immune system, you know what I'm saying? I swam in a Hudson River when I was a kid, so I don't worry about any diseases that come down the trail. We used
to
do
the
Hudson.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. We used to do what you call a Hudson crawl, where you put your hands out in front of you and you make like a sweep, an outward sweeping motion with your hands as you swim along. And that was to knock the turds and the condoms out of your way. And after that, you took a swim. Yeah. Polio used. Yeah, that was back in the 40s, you know. We used to dive off the top of the sewer. What the hell? And the polio would come to town, and all the rich kids would get sick, and the kids in our neighborhood never got polio. Not the ones who swam in the river.
Right, right. But you had built up your immune system.
Absolutely, and you're hanging on the back of them trucks and smelling all that diesel fumes and bullshit. And shit, I'm 83, man, and I've been exposed every kind of New York germ there is. A germ comes up to me when they say get those flu shots. I don't bother getting them because chances are I saw the goddamn germ 30 or 40 years ago and kicked its ass once, so I got my guys in there ready to go in the old immune system.
Right, right. Well, I've been fighting for the kids because they're trying to shove 59 doses into the smallest children through the age of 5. And they will.
Yeah.
So it's a full-time job. Well, I used to be a comic. I produced 1,000 shows in hospitals and homeless shelters. And, I mean, I was dedicated. I loved my own shows. I loved all the comics who worked with me. I laughed, you know. And I was just telling people I used to do crawling for kids. I used to do crawling for kids. So,
good for you.
George knew about that, and I was saying that I sang Jenny and ended it with every kid's name in the room because they wanted me to, and I couldn't speak for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Couldn't speak for 3 weeks. It's funny, yeah. But anyway, but once I found out what's happening to our children, you know, I kind of had to walk away, and like Rob Schneider's a comic, and he can still be funny. But honestly, until today, with the outing of the whole thing with this neighbor of the doctor who allegedly has Ebola, I haven't been happy. But with this announcement, I'm telling you, I couldn't be happy.
But don't let it get you down, Sally, and don't let it worry you, you know.
Well, someone has to take the lead, and I am taking the lead for New York City, and I'm to recruit people constantly to stand with me against these things, you know?
Yeah, you mean like indiscriminate vaccinations and things like that, going overboard on stuff.
I mean mandatory vaccinations. If you want to help me, and you can come and, you know, just be as truthful as you are.
Yeah.
Because that's
yeah,
all
I
you
comment.
Want is the truth.
Oh, yeah. I talk on, I got a little thing I do. It's at 4:20 in the afternoon. I might talk about sports, or I might talk about entrepreneurs, or it's just a blurb. It's just maybe 3 minutes or so. But that's my stance on the vaccinations and all. So I'm already doing what I can to help you, Sally.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate it. Every voice is needed, you know. But if you do come to New York, we have to have a big celebration, and you have to address people and perform. And, you know, we have to make a big deal of it because, you know.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll address them, but they'll decide whether it's a performance or not.
Well, you're jolly good. Yeah. I'd love to hear more about your mom. Was she a good laugher? Did she enjoy your sense of humor in George's? Did she have a good sense of humor?
She gave us our sense of humor. She had it, and my father had it, and her sister Aggie and all the goddamn brothers. It was like living in a nut house. And one of them, in fact, spent his life up at Rockland State Hospital, the guy that George is named after, Uncle George. And he was dementia precox or something. I had they had a name for that shit back in the 30s. But he was a nice guy, you know. But that was good. He was happy up there. Everybody knew him, and he played the piano. He leaned over to George. You could get him home for Thanksgiving and shit. He wasn't going to knife anybody or anything like that. So he was sitting there at Thanksgiving dinner, and he leans over and he says to George, "Did I ever tell you I used to be an admiral?" Isn't that beautiful? I loved him. An admiral.
An admiral
in the Navy, a goddamn admiral. I mean, he was loco, you know. But we dug him.
Well, I have to tell you, I work in, you know, a lot of homeless shelters. There's this woman who used to channel. Every time I saw her, she was a different person, but she knew the complete history of that person.
Oh, yeah.
Like one day
yeah.
she was the founder of the Girl Scouts, and we heard all about her history. And but truly, I believe she was channeling. My daughter actually said that to me. She said, "Mommy, she's so thorough and so convincing. I don't have to say she's channeling."
Anything's possible. Anything's possible. I got a kid one day when I was selling cars back in 1962, and I was in the car dealership, and they flipped him to me, and I didn't know he was a nut. And he gets here he is. Before I get him, he's talking to this guy, and he's opening a Zippo lighter and said, "Hello, let me talk to Jack Kennedy." And I didn't know any of this, so I'm taking a ride with him, and I'm taking him down to the bank to get his money out for a deposit on a car. And he begins to start telling me stuff like he's a karate champ. And I'm beginning to say, I think this guy's a little bit of a nutcase, man. So I get down here, and we walk into the bank, and he says, "I want my goddamn money." It went crazy. And when I was ready to kiss him off, he said, "Well, take me to see my mom." And his mother was cooking hot dogs up at Loyola University. And she looks, takes one look at him, and she says, "Are you out again?" But even though he was loco, he knew I was in charge. You know, I mean, even everybody knows who's running the show, and I deal good with psychos and people like that because I don't take them serious. I just talk to them like they're anyone else, and I tell them I don't want to contend with any bullshit, and they go along with the program.
Well, you know where I have to take you, I'll tell you. There's a place called United Cerebral Palsy. And the only
those people are okay.
Well,
Neil Young has a couple of kids that have cerebral palsy.
Well, actually, it turns out to be an outcome from vaccines. I had no idea when I was working there. I did not know that. But
Reason
I bring them up is because of the only muscle in their head that works is their brain. Just about no other muscle does.
They
love to laugh, and would love if you would visit them and talk to them and just tell them, you know, regale stories.
Yeah.
They would just love that. If you're ever coming to New York, give me a heads up.
I will. I saw a cerebral palsy guy doing a comedy routine. He was terrific. I can't think
of
his name.
There are a couple of them.
Oh,
Jerry Jewell is also a cerebral palsy.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that one next time I'm in New York. I'll give you a ring. I'm going to keep your card. All right, you stay cool.
God bless you. Thank you, Patrick Carlin. I'm just honored beyond belief and thrilled to speak with you.
Listen, I admire what you're doing. You keep up the good work, and I'll call you when I'm in town.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.